Normally, my talk should start by definition of the well with disability ordering, but as we have heard it a couple of times before, I will not start by that. I will assume that you know it, even on sigma 1-1 equivalence relations, not only Borel, but. But we've heard of lots of properties of this order, but we yet have not seen it. So I thought it could be a good idea right now to see it, because we only had news about it. So here it is. So this is the order. And the first remark one has to do with this picture is that it's not like the pictures taken in the hall. It's it has been taken from very far away, so that it's like constellations in the sky. You only see a few of the brightest stars of the partial ordering, and you don't see the complete picture. Okay, there are clouds that you would need a lot of better instruments to look at and see them. Now, to make some comments on this picture, I will first introduce terminology to simplify matters. The first thing is that instead of saying, an equivalence relation, which is the orbit equivalence relation of a Borel or continuous action of a Polish group on a Polish space and so on, I will say if the space in the group G is the Polish group you work with, I will say that this orbit and so on and so on and so on is just an G equivalence, okay? G equivalence relation. So it's EGX for some action of G on the Polish space, which is continuous or Borel, it doesn't matter. So that's just a way of speaking. And another terminology is the notion of a C-complete equivalence relation. So if I have a class C of, here it will be of analytic equivalence relations, but it could be a more general notion, so C is a class, then if I have an E, I will say that E is C complete if two things happen. E is in C, and E is maximum for the Borel reducibility ordering among the elements of C. So any F in C, Borel reduces to E. Okay? Now, it does happen that these biased stars of the subject here show up quite naturally as complete equivalence relations in some interesting, natural classes. Okay, so let me say a few words about that. So I think I don't have to say much about equality on the natural numbers. Okay, so this represents equivalence classes with countably many classes. Okay, nothing else. Now, here about that, equality on 2 to the omega, this is already complete for quite interesting classes, for G equivalence classes if G is compact. And it's also complete for all closed by the 1 equivalence relations, and even G delta equivalence relations. Okay, so it's complete for these classes. Now, just above it is E0, okay, which is was defined already. It's eventual equality on sequences of zeros and ones. And E0 is complete for Z actions. So here we have the compact groups, here we have Z.
Okay.
Now, about that, we have a big split here. So let's forget for the moment on the left side. On the right side, here is E infinity F2. This was the equivalence that Greg defined. I mean, it could be the equivalence that Greg defined as the action, the left action of F2 on the subsets of F2.
Okay.
Now, this one is complete for countable Borel equivalence relations, the ones that were discussed by Greg and that were also discussed by Scott Adams and Simon Thomas. So it's complete here, and it's also complete by the result of Kekris for G equivalences when G is locally compact. So below this, what's below this one is really the realm of what the kind of things that Greg was looking at, countable Borel equivalence relations. Now, much above it here, E infinity as infinity, you can think of it as being graph as a morphism. This is complete for S infinity actions. So it's complete for S infinity equivalences. And for example, somewhere in this cloud around here that you cannot see is the equivalence that was considered by Matt Forman, equality plus, or if you want, the isomorphism for discrete spectrum measure preserving transformations. It's somewhere here. Okay? Now, above this one is what I have called E infinity G0. Here, G0 could be, I mean, there are various possibilities here, but you could take the group of homeomorphisms of the Hilbert cube, for example. Now, so this is the largest, I mean, the complete G0 equivalence. There is a complete one. And in fact, it's not only complete for actions of G0, but it's complete for actions of all Polish groups. So this is complete for all G equivalences, G Polish. So G locally compact sits here, G Polish sits here, and G compact is here. Okay? Now, by a terminology due to Greg, this is the clear side of the universe. Now there is the dark side of the universe, which is the other side, the left side. This E1 is extremely simple to. It's not complete for. I mean, it's complete for something, but you're always complete for the things which are below you. But not for a very natural class. So this E1 is very similar to E0. It's eventual equality, but not on sequences of zeros and ones, but on sequences of reals. Now, it has the nice or bad property of not being reducible to any G equivalence for any Polish G. So it's incomparable with this one. Okay. It's really on the side. Okay. And it might be the smallest such thing. It's an open question, at least among Borel equivalence relations. It is Borel. It's, in fact, K sigma. And then I have put here two more objects, which are quite natural if you think in terms, not in terms of groups, and we cannot think in terms of groups anymore because we are away from the group actions. which corresponds here. We had, you know, complete for pi 1 and for pi 2 equivalences. That's the same. Here, this one is the one which is complete for K sigma equivalence relations. So unions of countable unions of compact sets. K sigma equivalence relations. And finally, on the top of everything, there is one which is complete for all sigma 1-1 equivalence relations, all analytic equivalence relations, which I denote by A sigma 1-1. So this one is complete for sigma 1-1 equivalence relations. And so this is the darkest part of the dark side. And so we had lots of things about the nice part. So this talk is about the dark side, and in fact about the darkest part of the dark side. So what I want to speak in this lecture is about what's here, okay, at the very top. So the most complicated sigma 1-1 equivalence relations. So that was the title. Now, the title was N quasi orders. And the reason for that is that if you want to study this side, and you need, in some sense, to have some way of building equivalence relations, and a way which is very far from actions of groups. Okay, and this way, what I propose here is by considering quasi-orders. So what is a quasi-order? So a quasi-order, you could call it also a partial pre-order, whatever. It's just a binary relation which is reflexive and transitive. So the only difference with an analytic equivalence relation, with an equivalence relation, is that it's not symmetric. Okay? So it gives an order, but of course it's not, it's only partial, and it's not really an order in the sense that the associated equivalence relation may not be equality. Okay? It's something. Okay? So, and in fact, let's look at that. So if R is a quasi-order, of course, I can define an associated equivalence relation, let me denote it equivalence sub R, which is defined by the natural thing. X is equivalent if X is below Y and Y is below X. Okay. Now, if R is a sigma 1-1 quasi-order, then this equivalence here is a sigma 1-1 equivalence relation. And we will see in this talk various ways of building quasi-orders that will give interesting sigma 1-1 equivalence relations that will be in this dark side, in particular some that will be here and here. Okay? Okay. Now, the existence of these objects here, it's not very hard. I will give it in just a moment. Here, there was a nice one obtained by Aleko some years ago. And the fact that there is a top one, that there is a complete analytic equivalence relation, it's folklore in the theory since the beginning. It's very easy to get, except that one, I mean, till very recently, didn't have any concrete example of it, except that, you know, it's an existence result, but it doesn't give anything. And part of the idea here is to get some concrete examples. In fact, some natural examples coming from model theory or analysis, and there are some. Okay, so some examples of classification problems which are, if something can be called intractable, they are intractable. They are at the very top of the picture. Okay. Okay. So really the idea behind is not to prove the existence, but really to get the technique for proving that nice equivalence relations are indeed of this most complicated degree. Okay? Now, how do you do it? Can you do this? And it's very simple. It's done like that for sets, and it extends. The idea is extremely simple. You want to show that E is complete. Reduce to E F, which you already know is complete. Then certainly E is complete, because if it's above the maximum one, it is the maximum one. Oh, good. And in fact, it's a very good technique, because it's cumulative. The information, you start, you have one, then you have lots, then you go on and you run, and you have more and more possibilities for finding some embeddings of complete equivalence relations into new ones. So it's a very nice technique, except that for one point, you have to start. Okay. Now, so let's start. So how do you start? You give one. As I said, there is one, so we should be able to start at least with this one. Unfortunately, it doesn't work well. Okay, so the first is just a proposition that indeed there is a complete sigma 1-1 equivalence relation. And the proof is, as usual in descriptive set theory, is by using a universal one. Or I should say maybe that I call these complete, but sometimes they are called universal. I don't like to call them universal, because at least in dimension one, in usual descriptive set theory, universal refers to something much more precise. Okay, so I don't want, so I said, that's why I said complete and not universal. But yeah, in fact, the example is the universal one. Okay, and how do you get that? So what you do, so clearly it's enough to get a sigma 1-1 equivalence relation, which reduces all the sigma 1-1 equivalence relations on your favorite space. You can fix the space. So let's fix it to be the Cantor space, 2 to the omega. Okay, so we work on 2 to the omega. On 2 to the omega, there exists a set W, which is universal for binary sigma 1-1 equivalence relations on it. So W is a subset of omega to the omega cross 2 to the omega cross 2 to the omega. And when you fix the first coordinate, you get, by letting it vary as sections, you get all the binary relations on 2 to the omega, which are analytic. And W is analytic. Okay? So that's what a universal set is for binary relations. Now, we zoom for binary relations. We want equivalence relations. Then what you do is that you take, for each fixing the first coordinate, you take the equivalence relation generated by the relation you have, okay? So define W star by the equation that W star alpha is the equivalence relation generated by W sub alpha, where W sub alpha is just the section at alpha, which is a binary relation. Now, the main point here is that this is, again, analytic. That's sigma 1-1. And the reason is just that, when you write it, it's just that you need closure under projections and closure under countable unions to be sure that that this is still sigma 1-1. And then you can, from this, so now what do you have? You have a list of, a nice list of all the sigma 1-1 equivalence relations, and you put them together. Okay, so you take the distance sum. So let's define E, sigma 1-1 infinity, by alpha x is E with beta y, if and only if alpha is beta. So that's the disjointness, and alpha beta, alpha x y is in W star alpha, is in W star. So x y is in W star alpha. So W star alpha is an equivalence relation, and you put them together. Now this clearly is complete, because given any E on on 2 to the omega, E will show up as one of the W alphas, But of course, if already W alpha is an equivalence relation here, you haven't done anything. So it's also W star alpha for the same alpha. And then the map X gives alpha X is a reduction. Okay? To this one. Okay. So that's really very, very simple. Now, the same argument works for many other classes, not for sigma 1-1. As soon as you have the same closure properties, for example, it works for K sigma. K sigma is closed under projections and countable unions. So it works as well for K sigma. And it works also for the sigma 1-n's, for all n, which have the same closure properties. Now, there is another way of using this similar idea, where which works for pi 1-1, which is due to Yoff. So there is also a complete pi 1-1 equivalence relation, although pi 1-1 doesn't have the correct closure properties for this one. But, I mean, the idea is to replace this kind of passage from W to W star by another one, which works for pi 1-1, and which is from the inside instead of being from the outside, like here. I don't want to get into it, but there is a way of adapting this technique for pi 1-1. I don't know if there is anything for pi 1-n's. Okay? And I also don't know if for classes above K sigma, there is a similar result. So if here, there is some kind of hierarchy depending on the Borel complexity. I have strictly no idea about that. And I, in fact, in some sense, I doubt that that it is true. Now, okay, now this is nice, except that it's totally useless for my task, because clearly if you have an E you would like to show it's complete, you want to reduce this one to it, or to do that, or to just reduce any equivalence relation is exactly the same, because it's just the sum of them. So it's really totally useless for what I had in mind. Okay. Fortunately, this is not the only way of getting a complete equivalence relation for sigma 1-1. There is another way, which Matt referred to as the forbidden way, and which works sometimes. So the idea is very simple. You want a reduction, and take the simplest one. And the simplest one is clearly X gives the E class of X, which works all the time. So this is a very nice reduction, as a reduction. Okay. Now, of course, it's very rarely Borel. I mean, this, the map itself doesn't make sense. This is a set, okay? So now, it doesn't make sense except that, of course, this, after all, is a set, but it's a sigma 1-1 set. So you could, a sigma 1-1 set has a realist code, or you could think of other type of objects, a tree on which it projects, okay? So there are lots of ways of getting a code. And usually, it will be easy to get from X to the code of the equivalence class of X as a sigma 1-1 set continuously. This is really no problem. Very easy to do. No, the problem is somewhere else, is that what are we doing? We are reducing E to equality in the codes. So in the codes, you have to see what does it mean for two sigma 1-1 sets to be equal. And that's pi 1-2, so it's not too good. Okay, so it doesn't give the right thing. But there are still moments where this silly idea works. I mean, one of them was to show, for example, that any countable Borel equivalence relation is reduced to equality plus. What do? You associate to X its class. which is now a countable set. And that's it. You reduce accountable Borel equivalence to equality on countable sets. So that's exactly the same idea. There is another one for which it works, which is this one. Here. Okay. If here E is compact, let's do the simplest case. If E is compact, this is perfectly correct. Okay? And this indeed is, this is a compact set, so it's a member of some Polish space, and so you have reduced any compact equivalence relation to equality on a compact, I mean, on some Polish space, the space of compact subsets, in a Borel way. If it's not compact, if it's Poisson 1, it doesn't really work. I mean, you have to work a bit, but it's essentially the same thing. So there is at least one case where it works. Now, let's try to still hope that it works in the general case, and then it will work. So let's try to do it for case sigma so that you see how it works. Okay? So for case sigma equivalence, so suppose now that A is case sigma, so A, E is, can be written as a union of compact sets Rn. And I want to look at this map. So what I would like to say is some way of saying that the union in N of the Knx is equal to the union in N of the Kny, where Knx is those things which are K. I should have said K, compact sets, okay, Kn. So these are the things which are Kn related to it. So you would like to, now again, this doesn't work because here it's a bit simpler than for sigma 1-1, but still equality on codes for K sigma sets is pi 1-1 and nothing better. So it's certainly, I mean, it's not sigma 1-1, it's certainly not K sigma itself. So instead of writing this way, let's try to find a a stronger relation which will be, I mean, stronger, so it will imply in particular equality, and that you might hope that still will satisfy that this gives a reduction. By what is the hope for this? Is that E is not anything. I mean, these Kn's are anything, but E is not. It's an equivalence relation. And we haven't used it yet. Okay? So, and essentially the important part is transitivity. I mean, the hard part is transitivity. So, the idea is to try to take advantage of the fact that this is an equivalence relation to be able to replace this by a stronger property and still get the same thing. And this is possible. And the stronger property is, what is the idea behind it? What I want to say, what do I want? I want to say that if Z is in this, then Z is in there, and conversely. Okay? So forget about the conversely. Let's see the first thing. So I want to say that if Z is in here, then Z is in there. Okay? So the best would be, so what does it mean? It means that given a Z, I know that there is an N, which is a witness, and I would like from this N to go to some M, which is a witness here. Okay. So in general, this map will be arbitrary. What we would like is that this map is as simple as possible. And what works in this context is by saying that this map is just one translation for all Z. Okay. And so let's look at the following. So let's say that the union of the Kn's is very strongly, oh, I should write it. It's not really the K sigma I had in mind, but that doesn't matter. So let's say that the sequence Kn is less than K sigma, a sequence Ln, so this should be these ones and this should be these ones, if there exists a K such that Kn is always contained in Ln plus K. So it's just by translation. Okay? And of course, let me say that we have this K sigma if both Kn is less than Ln and Ln is less than Kn. Okay? No, my claim is that this works. So the claim here is that there is a way of choosing the sequence Kn's in such a way that the sequence Knx is in this relation if and only if x is equivalent to y. And so this is really some kind of representation theorem for K sigma equivalence relations, that you can choose the Kn's in a very specific way, in a way so that you get a reduction. Now notice that now this is K sigma. And so we are done. So we have found a K sigma. A K sigma equivalence relation which is complete. Okay, it reduces all K sigma equivalence relations. And at the same time we have found a K sigma order, which happens to be complete for all K sigma orders. This one. So just forget about the and vice versa. Okay. Now what about sigma 1-1 now? Let's do the same thing. And it works. Okay. So now what do we have? We have E in sigma 1-1. Okay. And so each class X sub E is just the projection of some tree. Let me call it TX or T sub X or TX, doesn't matter. TX on where TX is a tree on here I'm assuming that E is on 2 to the omega to make it simple on the Cantor space. So T is a tree on 2 cos omega. So it's a set of finite sequences of the same length of pairs. One is from 2 to the less than omega, the other one from omega to the less than omega. And by P of T, what I mean is that XE is the set of all Z's, such that there is an alpha, such that if you look at, if for every N, this is a sequence of zeros and ones, this is a sequence of natural numbers, so you can look at the restriction to some integer. This gives you finite sequences. And this has to be in T sub X. Okay. So this is some way. It's well known that it's always possible to do such a representation, and moreover, in such a way that the map X gives T sub X is continuous. It's very easy. Okay. Now, again, we're doing the same thing. So now, if we have Z in XE, remember we want to have something which would ensure for sure that XE is YE. Okay. And would say it in a sigma 1-1 way, not in a pi 1-2 way. I don't want to say this directly. So the idea again is to take advantage of the fact that E is an equivalence relation to get a nice representation, a very specific representation, X gives T upper X, in such a way that something better works. Not just to write this, but to write a better thing. So what could be the better thing? Now, if you have a Z which is here, now we can associate to this Z some witness alpha. Okay, the witness alpha would be this alpha, which ensures that together they form a branch through the tree. Okay? Now, if you have such an alpha, because Z is in XE, it is in YE, so there should be a way to find a witness beta that, in fact, it's also in the projection of this tree. Okay? So that means that a witness beta that Z beta is in TY. Now, so the question is, what can you hope for a map that would compute beta from alpha? And there are lots of possibilities, but one of them, which is the one I choose, is to say that beta can be computed from alpha bit by bit by some Lipschitz map. Okay. So you have a Lipschitz map. Okay. So let me make a definition. So given two trees, T and S, so this would correspond to T sub X and S would correspond to T sub Y. Let's say that I will denote this order less than max. T is less than max S. So these are trees on 2 cos omega. So they are two finite sequences. If there exists a Lipschitz map F from omega to the less than omega, so the finite sequences of integers into the finite sequences of integers, which corresponds to a bit-by-bit definition, which just means that F respects both extension and length. Okay. So it sends sequences of length k to sequences of length k, and it preserves the extension of finite sequences, with the property that that if you have a pair us in the tree T, then the pair u f of s is in the tree S. Okay? So what this says is that if you know now that alpha is a witness, so for every n, alpha n, z restricted to n together with alpha restricted to n is in T, then you also know that u restricted, z restricted to n and f of alpha restricted to n is in S, but this gives you a branch here. So f extends to infinite, I mean easily to infinite branches, and this gives you a continuous, and it's like bit by bit definable, continuous map that gives you the witness beta knowing the witness alpha. And of course, if you want an equivalence relation, this is just an order, a quasi-order. If you want an equivalence relation, you need to say and vice versa. And this defines, less than max. And now the theorem is that, yes, it works using this. Okay? That means the theorem is that there does exist, given any sigma 1-1 equivalence relation, there does exist some representation by trees in such a way that X is equivalent to Y, if and only if there is such a the tree T upper X is below the tree T upper Y, and the tree T upper Y is below the tree T upper X. So they're equivalent. Okay? So this less than equivalence max is maximum. It's a very combinatorial object. Okay? So it is maximum. Now, it's so combinatorial an object that from it, then one can work and try to prove that some equivalence relations that show up quite naturally, or rather naturally, in mathematics are indeed the darkest possible stars. So let's give some examples. So using this, one can get the following results. So all these results I discussed up to now are a joint work with my student Christian Rosendahl, who is somewhere one here, and we're motivated by one of his results, which was previous to this one, which was a nice result, reduction result, of some equivalence relation which we didn't know the complexity to the an equivalence relation in Banach space theory. I will come back to it in a moment. And the main point was to try to understand the complexity of the first one, to understand the complexity of the second one. And so that was the starting point for studying all this. And they showed up to be complete. Okay, so let me just give some examples. So the following or complete sigma 1-1 equivalence relations. So the first one is consider a countable partial orders and not with isomorphism between them, because isomorphism of countable structures, that's here, okay, so this is very bad, but embeddability, by embeddability, if we want an equivalence relation. So instead of looking at isomorphism, you look at one structure being embeddable in the second one and the second one being embeddable in the first one. So you see, isomorphism for this kind of structures is here, but by embeddability is there. It's much more complicated to understand, to classify. Okay. Another one, which is countable trees, but I have to say what I mean by a tree, with by embeddability. So again, I look at bi-embeddability. Now, countable trees is the graph theoretic notion. That's just graphs which are connected and acyclic. So again, if you look at this, at the corresponding isomorphism notion, this is exactly of the level here. It's the most complicated it can be, which is exactly the most complicated S infinity action, but by embeddability is here. Sorry? What? I had trees there which have nothing to do with that notion. And there are a third notion of tree which is an order tree. Okay. What? Oh, yeah. Rooted or not? The answer is yes. Just for both. Both are complete. So there is another notion, which is the tree orderings. Orderings that have the property that things below one point is form finite linear ordering. Okay, and they are rooted, say. So this really is essentially the same as tree, except that embeddability, the notion of embedding is very different. Okay, now if you look at those kind of objects, trees, the order notion of tree with embeddability, then it's a famous result, which I think is due to Leiber. Maybe Nash Williams already proved it, I don't know. That it's BQO, it's a very, very simple, it's an ordering that does not even reduce omega with equality, and it does not reduce omega with reverse ordering. So it's certainly not complete sigma 1-1 ordering. So you have to be cautious about what kind of trees you put here. Okay. So that's here I'm speaking about the graph theoretical notion. Okay, so this is these are two results for countable structures. What about separable structures? So, here are some. If you look at Polish metric spaces, and I would say isometry, but I don't want to say isometry, I want to say isometric by embeddability. This again is complete. And there is a similar thing. It's known from results of Gao and Kekris that if you look at Polish metric spaces now with isometry, instead of isometric by embeddability, the level is this one here. And for by embeddability, the level again is here. Okay. And what about compact? Metrizable. Spaces. Now, I would like to say homeomorphism, but again, homeomorphism is simple. So what I say is continuous embeddability. Okay, so continuous by embeddability. Now this again is complete. Now here for the, so this one is complete, and if you look at the corresponding, which is just, the corresponding isometric isomorphism, which is just homeomorphism between compact metrizable spaces, this is not known exactly where it is. The complexity is somewhere between this one and this one, somewhere. It's strictly above this. Cannot be. It's strictly above this one. But it's not known if it's exactly this one, although it looks plausible that it is of this complexity. And finally, the one for the Banach spaces. So if you look at separable Banach spaces, together with so linear isometric and by embeddability, which is the natural thing to look at, then again it's a complete sigma 1-1 equivalence relation. Okay, and now again, if you replace isometric by embeddability by linear isometry between separable Banach spaces, it's not known exactly where it is. It is above this one because there's this famous result that compact sets are homeomorphic if the C of K's are isometric. So you get a reduction from one to the other. So it's this is above this one and it's below this for another nice result, which is Mazur's theorem that if two Banach spaces are isometric, they are in fact linear isometric. Okay. In fact, any isometry is a linear isometry up to some translation. So in fact, it's in between, and we don't know exactly. Again, we don't know exactly where it is. So for isometry, it's at most here, and for isometric by embeddability, it is here. Okay. So this is about the things we know. Of course, there is here a very natural other question, which is what happens if you replace isometries by isomorphisms, which in some sense is even more natural for separable Banach spaces. And this is, Christian has some results about that. But there is not much known about the complexity of either linear isomorphic by embeddability or linear isomorphy itself. None of them is known. The only thing which is known is that they are in the dark side. And essentially, that's the only thing which is known. They are in the dark side in the sense that Christian proved that E1 can embed. And so, too bad. Too bad in your sense. They cannot be, come from an action of a Polish group. Okay. And maybe I wanted to, Aleko asked me to say something about a subject which is close, but which is different, but I will not have time to do it. So, sorry, Aleko. So let me finish by saying that there are also other results which show that you can get natural objects also at this level here, okay? And essentially what you, these are, let me give two of these results. These are, by looking at these relations, but reduce a bit the class of objects you look at. So for example, if you, look at countable locally finite, countable locally finite trees with by embeddability. It's exactly complete for K sigma. It's exactly at that level. Okay? And here, thank you, Benji, for asking rooted or not. Here it's not rooted. If you put rooted, it becomes here. Okay. So countable locally finite trees is K sigma complete. Here is another example where it is K sigma complete. If you look at subclasses of polished metric spaces, for example, if you look at, so this is, if you look at Heine-Borel locally compact metric spaces. Metric spaces. So Heine-Borel means that every closed bounded set is compact. Okay? So if you look at those with isometric by embeddability, this is K sigma complete. There are lots of results of Gao and Kekris about the complexity of isometry between polished metric spaces. And for Heine-Borel, if I remember well, it's E infinity F2, isn't it? Yes? Thank you. I was waiting for. Thank you. Yeah, so this is at this level, and for the embeddability, it is at that level. And there are various other results of the same form. Also for the connected ones, it's at this level, and here I do not know for connected ones if it is at that level, but I think it should be true. Anyway. Okay, so this is it.